even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's Mentally Yours for Melon and Yvette. A podcast on your mental health you surely won't regret. It's mentally yours.
Hi everyone and welcome to Mentally Yours, Metro.co.uk's weekly mental health podcast. I'm Yvette and today I'm chatting to Helena Rafai. She's a podcast producer and the founder of mental health podcast, A Sonic Hug. We're going to be chatting today about agoraphobia, panic attacks, and podcasts.
So I think it was, well, I know it was probably when I was 16 years old, I tried to take my life. I took an overdose and it was because I was going through some really bad stuff at home. My dad, unfortunately, was domestic abuse. So my father was very physically abusive to my mother, myself, and my brother. And that resulted in quite a lot of things becoming quite difficult. I suppose me questioning my home life and everything like that. And just the fear of waking up every day and wondering what was going to happen physically, in terms of, and this isn't, there was no sexual assault or anything like that. It was mental and physical beating. So I think it was just, that's how it kind of started. And it's just really manifested and evolved throughout my whole life. And it's taken years for me to be properly diagnosed in terms of, I was diagnosed with PTSD when I was around 16, but then panic disorder and agoraphobia came far later and far too late, in my opinion.
Mm. And you've spoken really sort of openly about this on your podcast, A Sonic Hug. If people listen to the first episode of that, you really talk incredibly honestly and really in depth about what you went through. What made you want to start off the pod, but also to kind of share that level of detail with people?
I think there comes a time in your life when you'll know this yourself, when you've gone through your mental health journey. And I think you reach a certain age and you start to think, I really do not want someone else to have to endure what I've gone through or try and figure out this journey. And I'm not saying, I mean, everyone, no two mental health journeys are the same, but there's similar themes, there's different things that, you know, we can experience collectively. And I think that I just felt that I wanted to help people. And it was at the sacrifice of my own privacy. And I just thought, you know, this, I just need to do this now. But it was also a kind of selfish thing as well, in that I wanted to try and find more help to understand what I was going through, and also find, it's that whole cliche of knowing that you're not alone. And I think with the podcast, it was just a means. I've been podcasting for 15 years on a music level, never within the mental health sphere. And I just decided that it was time to do something like this and just meet as many people. And I think one of the biggest things for me was the sheer complexities that surround mental health, and understanding the kind of journeys that other people have been through, but also to create more empathy for people that and understand why these things happen, why people end up in the positions that they're in, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Just before we go on to talk a bit more about your podcast and also World Mental Health Day, would you mind telling us a bit more just about your journey in terms of moving from what sounds like a really quite traumatic childhood to a place where you sort of feel safer and more confident and able to talk about this stuff?
Yeah, so I mean, I think there's always been an element of loneliness, despite having three brothers and having quite a large extended family. And I think a lot of people that struggle with their mental health will probably feel exactly the same. But I was very lucky. I don't think I'd be here if it wasn't for music. And I know that that's the same for a lot of people. I really invested in, that was my escapism whenever things were really challenging at home. And so I kind of really spent a lot of my time around music, buying music, writing about it. And that's the field that I went into. But the problem was that I hadn't fully addressed the actual mental health aspects of what was happening. I remember going to see my first therapist when I was 16, and I just didn't gel with them at all. So after the third session, I just lied, said I was fine, and then I just went on my way. And then I didn't see another therapist again until I was around 21. And I'd made another two attempts on my life by that point. And I think that I wish I'd had a kind of, if I could go back, I wish I'd had a therapist that I would have connected with, because I definitely don't think I would be where, I suppose, well, I hope I wouldn't be where I am now. But it was various things as well that affected stuff. So I left uni because I was having panic attacks and I didn't understand what was happening. It was affecting things like travel, sitting in classes, all these types of things. I didn't know what was happening to me. And then jobs, it affected jobs. As time went on, the internet, I know it's a blessing and a curse, but it was a blessing in terms of me finding my tribe, finding people that I would connect with, especially on the music scale. And then that kind of gave me the confidence to kind of go out in the community, and especially within Glasgow, which has got a tremendous music community. And I was able to attend live shows, make really great friendships with people, and then start talking about things like mental health. And that's how it kind of, because the music industry is probably one of the most flawed things in the world when it comes to mental health, unfortunately. But so that kind of progressed, and I ended up just kind of having the confidence to start my own website, my own podcast, from a music perspective, and just teach myself, because the panic and the agoraphobia was affecting so many things in terms of me actually attending courses, you know, my jobs, all these types of things. And then I went on to start the Sonic Hug podcast. And that was just purely, I started blogging online about my mental health experiences, and people were connecting. And I suppose it's like many people, you start to think, right, okay, this is actually helping. And that's when I started talking to people and hearing their stories. And it's really helped me a lot. It's really given me a kind of a great respect for people, but also it's changed my perceptions of people wildly. I think there's been a lot of talk from some of the guests about crimes that they've committed or things that they've been through, acts that they've done. You know, I think sometimes when you experience mental health on a really extreme levels, at times you can hate yourself and you can hate the things that you do and what you become. There's a real anger at times, and you can be really, I've been so horrible at times. And I think that by kind of really understanding the catalyst for that, you develop a deep empathy for people. And I think that that's the thing I've probably been most grateful for. And so that's how it's kind of got to the stage that it has. And I suppose now it's more about having that passion for helping, I guess.
Mm. You've mentioned in there that you've struggled with agoraphobia. Mm-hmm. Would you mind telling us a bit more about that and how that affects you? Just because I think a lot of people have quite a preconceived notion of what that means.
Sure. So the first time I experienced it, I was in my early 20s, and I lived in a basement flat and in Glasgow. And I went to work and I'd had a panic attack on the train coming back, and it was one of the worst panic attacks I've ever had. I was actually beating on the train window to get off, and I got off the train, didn't really know what I'd experienced, went into my flat, and the panic, so it's panic disorder that had created this. So it's the fear of the panic. This is the biggest problem. And a panic attack, for anyone that's had it, will know that it's one of the worst things you can ever experience. You ultimately feel like you're going to die. And so I started to kind of think, if I go outside, I'm going to have a panic attack. Then it started to move to, if I move into this room, I'm going to have a panic attack. If I go to the shower, I'm going to have a panic attack. So that fear it was immeasurable. I ended up paying for, when my mum found out that I hadn't been to work and my work were really bad, they actually put me on a final written warning because they didn't really understand what I was going through. And so my mother actually, I got a hypnotherapy, it managed to get me out and I managed to work through things. But then the pandemic came. So this is obviously 20 years later, the pandemic came. The lockdown just really kind of, it happened again. What happened was, it's that, again, that fear of the panic. And you really just, you disassociate, and it's the hyperventilation, the beating heart, you know, your heart's going a million miles an hour. And you just feel that you cannot move within these situations and that everything's coming for you. It's really about kind of trusting yourself, but being, I hate to use the word brave because I just feel it's a weird word to use, but I suppose it's just really about pushing yourself. Someone explained it to me that was the best explanation, is that if you're in a pool of water and it's up to your waist and you have got this beach ball and you are trying to push this beach ball under the water, but it's not happening, you just have to sit with that beach ball. And I think it's just that, it's about accepting what is happening to you. And that's one of the hardest things to push through, unfortunately.
No, thank you for sharing that. It's really helpful, but also I can imagine, yeah, sometimes when you're sort of going over this stuff again, I don't want to sort of, you know, trigger you or anything. Or
yeah, no, it's okay.
It's a lot, isn't it? the next thing I wanted to sort of move on to was what things have you found helpful in terms of dealing with your panic attacks and with agoraphobia?
Yeah, well, therapy has been massive. Unfortunately, my first experience with CBT has been a bit hit and miss for me over the years. When I first had it, I got 6 sessions over the NHS, which didn't really do anything. And I really felt for the person delivering it, because I know that they were obviously trying to fit in a certain amount of things within the time that they had and the budgets. So I eventually started paying, and that's been one of the biggest things. I think it's just finding the right therapist, though, and just the privilege that I have to be able to pay for my therapy goes beyond what I'm like so grateful for that. Other things are kind of really questioning myself, I guess, is really it's kindness to myself. I've been so ferociously bad to myself over the years, which has come through trauma with my father, and that stuff that I've worked through. Journaling is something. Now, the things that I'm mentioning now, when I was in my 20s, I would scoff at. I would just be like, no, this is just stupid. It's not going to help me. But now I've actually done them and they are helping. I think also just mindfulness, being in the present, just trying to not focus on my thoughts. My thoughts are, for many of us, can be debilitating, and the way that we kind of question ourselves, and breathing. So breathing for anyone that has panic attacks is probably one of the biggest things. So you hyperventilate, and it's really about kind of taking time each day to properly sit and practice, so that when you are in those tricky situations, you start to kind of immediately go to that toolbox that you've created for yourself. And then when it comes to agoraphobia, it's been things like introspective work. So actually bringing on feelings of a panic attack within, and just exposure therapy, which I think that more people kind of really need to know about. And I wish I'd known about it when I was younger, just about kind of trying to, it's about really small steps, not immediately just going outside. It's about, you know, can you put your hand on the door handle of the front door, see how many times that you can do that until you're bringing your anxiety down. So there's been so many different things, but they've kind of all come together and help build up.
I'd like to talk a little bit more about a sonic hug now. Tell us about some of your most memorable guests.
Wow. So there's some that have kind of, I suppose, affected me more than others, but they've all equally been really special. I think one of the ones that really stood out for me was a young woman called Jassy Earle. She lost her father, and she had a problematic relationship with her father, and she was speaking about how grief had affected her mental health, and it still does. And it was the way that she spoke about the loss and the moment that she realized that she'd lost her father. And it took me a few weeks. Usually I'll edit a podcast quite quickly, but that one I had to kind of keep dipping in and out of, because I've never really experienced grief on that level. And it gave me a real kind of indication of what was going to happen. And it was terrifying, but I was also really thankful for how honest she was in that podcast. But it also made me kind of realize just the sheer, again, that loneliness that people feel, and just that there's no textbook to this. You just have to go through it minute by minute at times. So that was a massive one. Another one was a woman, Carrie, talking about becoming a trans woman, and just the internal struggle, I think, both mentally, but also having to deal with the thoughts and opinions of other people. especially parents at her children's school and all these things that she had to navigate, and just the sheer bravery and courage that it took to move through that and just to be the person that you want to be, which I couldn't really, at times I can't really understand, because we're all human, we all deserve to live the life that we want to live. And I think another one was James from Twilight Sad. He's from a band, and him and I have talked quite a lot about mental health over the years, in terms of music industry and how the pressures of it, and also the grief that he's experienced through losing a special friend. But I had no idea what he was going to come in with on that podcast until the day. And then he said it was body image. And I was absolutely floored. I couldn't believe it, because he's never really spoken about it at all. And I think that that's the first time he's ever spoken about it. And just the way that he punished, and I don't know if he still does this, I've not really talked to him in recent times, but the punishment that he gave himself. But as someone that struggles with my body as well, it was just so interesting to hear it from a male perspective. And it's something that men don't, obviously, it's not spoken about enough, as a lot of these things. And yeah, I guess the one other one that I'll mention is Jibemi Aiko, who is a rapper, and he kind of originally from Nigeria, but brought up in London, but was shipped to Stranraer by his dad to stay with his aunt. And just talking about the level of racism that he experienced, but unfortunately his brother was murdered as well, and having to go through that, and as a child, and the amount of adversities to overcome, and so on, and also talking about things like your own mental health, but layering racism on top of that. So you're, but then having to speak to white counselors who do not understand, as a black person, what you're experiencing of the trauma. So yeah, there are a few.
And why did you decide to, on the format that you have for your podcast? Because it's lovely in that the way that you produce it, it's just a person speaking and sort of giving their full story, rather than it being a kind of question and answer format that we hear.
Yeah, so I've done some mental health interviews before, and I've found that I have the presenter or the host, or if I'm in an interview, actually telling me how I should feel or navigating my conversation for me. And I've just kind of sat back just in sheer, I suppose, amazement and bewilderment at times. Like, this is, you know, you're asking me about my experiences here, so can I get the space to actually tell you about them? So I felt that I really wanted people to have that full section to say exactly what they went through. And then the end is just me, almost, I suppose, like an audio letter to that person in the public, to say, you know, I'm really proud of you for doing this. B, you've taught me a lot during this. And C, ask questions to the public as to how they maybe think about things going forward when it comes to those experiences. Because there's a lot of judgment that we hold, I think, as a society.
So this is goodbye for Mentally Yours. So go away, enjoy your day, get on with all your chores. From Mentally Yours.
If you've been affected by any of the issues we've been chatting about today, please give the Samaritans a ring on 116 123.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review and subscribe to our channel, and perhaps even go back and listen to some old episodes. We have many of them.
Also, you can get in contact with us. We have a lovely Facebook group,
which is called Mentally Yours, and we're also on Twitter at MentallyYRS. See you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.